question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Our first contestant tonight is Andrew in Northern Victoria. Andrew, hello.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I hear that we actually have a special moment. Tell us what's happening.
What's happening? Yeah, well, just 10 minutes ago, I just turned 90.
You turned 90?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, that's quite the achievement. How are you feeling, Andrew?
I'm feeling with a very exciting weekend. We had a party on Saturday afternoon and the church service on this morning, Sunday morning, with all my brothers here. So we had a great time.
How many brothers have you got?
I had six, but now I've only got five.
Right.
But there was four of them here.
Yeah. Are you the oldest, Andrew?
Well, I am now. My eldest brother's gone, but I'm number two.
Right.
And we're seven of us. We come from Northern Ireland. You probably worked out that.
Yeah. Bit of a giveaway there, right, Andrew? All right, now, Andrew, I've got something for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Well, congratulations, Andrew. Now, would you like top your birthday off by getting a question correct in the history quiz? Oh.
Well, I don't know about whether I will or not. I've been a long-time listener, but a first-time caller. But I thought I'd call you on my 90th birthday.
No, nothing like your 90th birthday to do something new, I say, Andrew. All right. Question one. The first solid evidence of the emergence of the tradition of giving specific gifts for specific wedding anniversaries comes from 18th century Germany, where couples were traditionally gifted a silver wreath on reaching which wedding anniversary?
Oh, dear. I'm afraid I don't know the answer for that one.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, you can have a guess at that one.
The silver wedding, that'd be 50 years, would it?
Oh, I'm afraid it is not, Andrew. I wish you could have got it right. That would have been perfect. But you've got a whole 24 hours to still celebrate your birthday, don't you?
Yes.
So you go and make sure you do that in some style.
Thank you very much. And we really enjoy your program.
Thanks, Andrew. And call again.
I'll try and do that again, yes.
Okay. Lovely. All right. A number of the listeners too, Andrew, are just wishing you a happy birthday on the SMS, because that's the kind of lovely bunch that they are. 1-300-800-222. Anne in Randwick. I've got two Anns on the line. It's Anne in Randwick. Hey, Anne. Anne? Oh, Anne, I can't hear you. Something funny happened to your phone. Okay, we better maybe, Lockie, you can just check if Anne in Randwick is there, and we'll go back to her in a moment. Kylie in Daysdale.
Oh, hello, dear. There, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm well. Susan? I'm well, Kylie. It's nice to hear from you. Have you went on an adventure at the moment?
No, not for 6 months. I'm on adventure to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. That's where I'm going for the next 2 months. So I'll leave it at that one. That's a Centrelink debt, which has been going for 12 years, and I'm building up the case. It goes to court on the 17th, so I'll let you know how things go.
Okay.
Now, did you get the Christmas card?
No, not yet. No, I'm sure it will turn up.
The boys have got them, but they are from nightlife, but you haven't, so it must be coming. Anyway,
I'm sure it is.
I'll have a little stab and say paper or coral.
So, no, we're after. We want to know on which wedding anniversary couples were traditionally gifted a silver wreath. And it's not 50.
Oh, 25th anniversary.
25 is correct, Kylie.
Oh, God, yeah. That was a stab in the dark.
That's the answer. You've done well. Okay, that's question one under our belt. Question two, Kylie, in our history quiz, which is themed around marriage tonight. Which Scottish town became a destination for young people wishing to get married in the 18th and 19th centuries after England enacted a law requiring young people to be over the age of 21 to get married, but Scotland didn't?
It must be Edinburgh. I'll have a stab there.
It's not Edinburgh, no.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Lovely to speak to you, Kylie.
We'll give you a ring next week. Cheers now. Bye now.
Cheers. 1-300-800-222. Okay, Anne in Randwick, we found you again. No. No, that phone's... I don't know what's happening. It's very strange. Okay, I'm going to pop you back with Lockie again and see if Lockie can try to sort things out. We have another first-time caller, also another Andrew. Andrew from Yamundi. Hey, Andrew.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Well, don't suppose you happen to be turning 92?
No, you've got a bit on me yet.
Yeah? Any luck you'll get there?
Yeah, hopefully, in good health.
Now, I'm after the name of a Scottish town that became a destination for young people wanting to get married in the 18th and 19th centuries after England enacted a law requiring young people to be over the age of 21, but Scotland didn't.
I don't really know, but I'll hazard a guess at Balmoral.
It's not Balmoral, no. Thanks, Andrew.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, Lockie is telling me that this line is going to work this time, Andrew. I mean, our
yes,
Anne.
I think it is, and I'm going to guess Glasgow.
No, not Glasgow.
Can I just tell you something quickly?
Yes, you can.
Just before COVID, I met a man in a nursing home in Maroubra, and he knew the man who wrote Daisy, Daisy, Give Me Your Answer, Do.
Oh, wow.
And it was a young woman called Daisy from the Darling Downs.
Is that an Australian song? I don't think I even knew that was from Australia, Anne. I think I always thought it must have come from somewhere else. Yeah. Ah. Well, that's fantastic.
Okay. Well, good night.
All right. Thanks, Anne. Glad we got that phone sorted there. 1-300-800-222. Here's Anne in Caulfield.
Hi. Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
I knew the first question, though.
Well, this is the one you need. Lots of our texters have it. Lots have heard of it. So this is a Scottish town that became a destination for young people wanting to get married in the 18th and 19th centuries.
Okay, well, before I hazard a guess and bomb out, can I just say a quick hello to those people who I promised to say hello to today, and whether I've even spoken to them today or been with them, hello to those people, and you know who you are, because they don't want their names mentioned.
Okay.
Or some of them don't. Okay.
What's your answer?
Is Gretna Green in Scotland?
Gretna Green, is that your answer?
Yeah.
It is correct. That's right. Gretna Green was the town that was basically just over the border in Scotland, so it was the closest place that people could go to get married. And even now, because of its historic reputation, they do a lot of weddings there just because of that, you know, historic reputation it has, Anne.
That's cute.
Yeah, it is. Actually, one of my texters says that they were there earlier this year. Yeah, Jill says Gretna Green, I've been there. Be nice to visit, actually. Okay, Anne, question three in our marriage-themed history quiz tonight. In what year was same-sex marriage legalised in Australia?
Oh, gosh. I remember it, and it wasn't that long ago. I'll say 2005, but I'm not confident at all.
No.
Okay. All right.
Thanks,
Thank
Anne.
Bye.
Good to talk to you. Gary in Perth is a first-time caller. Welcome, Gary.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm well. Now, Gary, what year was same-sex marriage legalised in Australia? It was not 2005.
Seventeen.
You are correct, Gary. Yes. Question four. A Celtic wedding tradition that dates back as far as 7,000 years ago involved tying a couple's hands together with ribbons or cords. What is that tradition called? Yeah, Gary, I'm sorry, but I'm not liking the silence, the prolonged silence on your end. Let's talk to Barbara in Falconbridge. Hey, Barbara.
Hello. Can I ring you on my 80th birthday at the end of January?
I've got, well, you can ring me anytime. It doesn't have to be your birthday, as evidenced by the fact that you've run. Oh, sorry, I've missed your headline. Sorry, which date?
The 31st of January.
31st. Is that a Friday, Saturday or Sunday?
It's a Saturday night, yes.
Okay, that would be my first Saturday night back after my holiday.
Oh, isn't that clever of you to do
we've
that?
We've really arranged
you
that
must
well,
have
haven't we?
Something.
I did.
I'm very excited about that now.
All right, it's a date, Barbara.
Could you repeat it for me?
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
The question is, a Celtic wedding tradition which dates back as far as 7,000 years ago that involves tying a couple's hands together with ribbons or cords and
it's
is called
binding.
No, the tradition is, no, it's a different name we want for this tradition. There's a particular name for the kind of ceremony in the tradition.
Yeah. Oh, well, am I allowed to have another guess?
No.
I didn't think so.
Right. Well, I'll probably talk to you before I talk to you in January.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Barbara. Yes, Gail in Blackrock, that is correct. And if, like me, you've watched a lot of Outlander, you will have come across this quite a few times. Helen in East Brighton.
Hello.
Hello, Helen. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I've got a feeling some friends of mine did this a few years ago. The groom was Scottish, and I think it's called tying the knot.
No, it is apparently where the phrase tying the knot comes from, but that's not the actual name of the tradition.
Oh, I thought that might be wrong because you said it was just a name, but anyway.
Wait and see, Helen.
I shall.
Anyway, thanks for having a go. George in Fremantle. Hello, George.
Yeah, how are you going, Suzanne?
Oh, good. What is the name that I'm looking for? A Celtic wedding tradition which dates back as far as 7,000 years and involves tying a couple's hands together with ribbons or cords. I want to know what it's called.
It's an old quiz night question, this one.
Oh, is
it? I've been to a few quiz nights in my time. It's called hand fastening.
Hand fastening is correct. That's right. Yeah, as I said, the phrase tying the knot is derived from that. But, it's called hand fasting. Right, George. Question five. The first weddings in Australia took place on the 10th of February 1788. This is obviously from, you know, colonial settlement in Sydney. They were presided over by Reverend Richard Johnson. How many couples were wed on this day? I'm giving you a clue. It is between 2 and 10. So that's nicer than I normally am with questions like this.
Well, I reckon. Very generous of you. What's that 2 and 10? So I've got, let's say, I had a question the other night and on Friday night, and you asked me, what was it, how many points did North Melbourne?
Oh, yes. We lost a few people on that one.
I reckon you should have given me that. I was within one.
Well, that's why I'm making it up to you tonight by being so generous with a clue.
How about this one? How about give me one either way this one?
No.
No, I don't. Look, I'll have a guess. So you said between 2 and 10, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Lucky 7.
It's not 7.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, George.
Okay, cheers.
I'll talk to you next time. Who? Someone sent me something into... Oh, yeah. This has happened to a couple of you because when your autocorrect goes bad, it tends to all go bad in the same way. So with hand fasting, I've had at least three people who sent in hand basin. Thank you. Now, don't worry. If you're playing the text challenge and I see hand basin, I'll know it was autocorrect. David in Piemont, hello, welcome. David, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. David, we're on question five. The first weddings in Australia took place on the 10th of February 1788 in Sydney Cove. They were presided over by Reverend Richard Johnson. How many couples were wed on this day? It's between 2 and 10. It is not 7.
I think it's 4.
It is not 4. I'm dreadfully sorry, David.
That's all right.
Okay. Claire in Modbury. Evening, Claire.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Okay, it's not 4, it's not 7. This is question 5. The first weddings in Australia took place on the 10th of February 1788. How many couples got wed? It's between 2 and 10, it's not 4 or 7.
Well, my lucky number is 8, so I'll say 8.
It is not 8. No.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Annie in Port Macquarie. Question 5, Annie. Annie, hello.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
I'm fine.
It's not.
How are you?
I'm good. It's not 4, 7, or 8. It's between 2 and 10.
Oh, look, who could possibly know the answer to this? But I'll have a guess at 5.
Thank you. I was trying to give it away. Don't you see how I made the answer to question 5?
Five.
So often you go to a trivia night and they play that trick on you. Question 32, and you go, "Oh, it's 32."
Yeah.
Now, one of the couples was Henry Cable and Susanna Holmes. I think they are considered the first couple who got married. They went on to have 9 adult children, and their descendants are considered by some to be the longest continuous line of white-born Australians. And I bet that there are some of you descended from them. So if there are, if that's you, do let me know. Because that would be a nice
not
little...
Me.
Not you? Well, the people, honestly, that our listeners are descended from is amazing. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a caller who was descended from the Irish pirate queen.
Yeah.
That was a great chat. Right. Which couple's marriage, question 6, and it's got nothing to do with 6, which couple's marriage in 1469 led to the effective unification of what is today Spain and set the stage for the age of discovery from which Spain would profit enormously?
No idea, Suzanne, but thank you for your program. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you, Annie. Well, thank you so much for being a part of it too. Let's head across the country to Perth. Hello, Donna.
Oh, hello, Suzanne. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Who is this couple? They got married in 1469 and the marriage led to the effective unification of what is today Spain. They're pretty famous as far as Spanish monarchs go.
Gee. Oh. No, sorry, I don't have a clue. I didn't ring up for that question before, but never mind.
Sorry,
another time.
Yeah. Thank you. Now we have people who know it. Yes, correct. Harry, John in Denniston, Tana. Couple of you have got the wrong name for the king. Steve from Kempsey, that is it too. Yes, here we are. Really? David from Warrington says, Henry Cable is my great-great-great-great-grandfather. My mother's name was Zilla Cable. Fantastic. See, I knew we'd have somebody. Knew it. Oh, no, we've been to David in Piedmont before. Let's go to John in Bundaberg. Hey, John.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. I'm after this Spanish couple whose marriage in 1469 led to the effective unification of what is today Spain.
I'm still hung up on the last question because I've been working with descendants of that first marriage all my life.
Are you serious? How? Tell me the connection.
I'm an electrician. I've been in the mines all my life and I've been working with cables my whole life, mate. And I'm just wondering if Dick Johnson that married him has any relation to the Bathurst legend.
Oh, John, you were just punning me, weren't you? You've been working with cables.
Miss Redlegs, could I just snoop and ask where you're going for your holidays before I...
We'll be in Japan. I will be seeing my brother. As you know, I just spent some time with him. Then we're going to Edinburgh and London and Italy. And then the bit I'm really excited about the most is we're going to the Arctic Circle in Finland to have a very, very cold time, but hopefully see the Northern Lights.
Yeehaw, half your luck, mate. Hope it all goes well for you.
Thanks. Now, John, can you have a guess for me at who this couple is that I'm looking for?
Juan Carlo del Minosavi.
No. Cheers, John. 1-300-800-222. Yeah, Kate, that's it. And Jane, that's correct. Yeah, Grace and Elizabeth, lots of you have the answer to this one. Someone sent me a whole web page about the person. If you know, give me a shout, 1-300-800-222. You don't need to tell me the number of them. You just need to tell me the two first names. Noel from Broadwater.
Is this still the Spanish couple? Or?
It is the Spanish couple. 1469.
I have probably read about it. For some reason, I keep thinking of a Queen Isabel or Isolde or Isabel, I'd probably say. And I should know a guy's name, but...
Okay, well, Isabella is correct. So can you think of who the bloke was?
No, I'll just guess it, Franco.
Oh, you're not that far off, but it's not Franco.
Good night, Suzanne.
Okay, see you later, Noel. 1-300-800-222. Warren in Paran, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this couple I'm after, a Spanish couple whose marriage in 1469 led to the effective unification of Spain? One of them's Isabella. Who's the other one?
Well, I'm glad the previous caller recalled Isabella because I couldn't quite remember. But the is it Ferdinand?
It is. It is Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella of Castile. Well done, Warren.
Great.
Excellent. Question, what are we up to? 7. Which couple got married in a brief civil ceremony on April the 29th, 1945 in Berlin?
In April...
April the 29th, 1945 in Berlin, a brief civil ceremony.
Which couple? Okay, so obviously it was the end of the world.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds, Warren.
Was it Adolf Hitler?
If it was, who did he marry?
What was her name? Oh, I'm going to bomb out.
Oh, Warren, you're close, but I'm sorry you didn't quite get there. Kirsty in Launceston.
Hi.
Hi. Which couple got married in a brief civil ceremony on April 29th, 1945 in Berlin?
Gonna have to pass on that one, mate. I don't know it.
Oh, sorry, Kirsty. All right, we'll chat with you another time too. Oh, Simone says I too am a descendant of Susanna and Henry Cable, and that is on my mother's father's side. Not one, but two descendants listening tonight. Fantastic. Stephen Lester, hello, Steve.
Evening, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm well.
Very good.
Which couple got married in a brief civil ceremony on April the 29th, 1945 in Berlin? And we got a bit of a hint.
Yes, I was wondering if they ever got actually called Mr. and Mrs. Hitler.
Sounds very strange, doesn't it, from this perspective in history?
I think Nee Braun.
Yeah, what was her first name?
Eva.
Oh, Eva, sorry, you said that. Yes, that is the answer that I'm looking for. Question 8. Which British queen proposed to her husband because of the tradition which held that no one could propose to a reigning monarch?
Oh, when in doubt of British female monarchs, say Queen Victoria.
That's an excellent logic. It is Queen Victoria, Steve. Yeah. Albert had come to visit her. Apparently when they met, they were very besotted with each other, but she couldn't, she had to propose. She did that during his second visit to see her in 1839. She wrote in her journal, "It would make me too happy if he would consent to what I wish." Isn't that nice?
Well, she never really got over him, did she?
No. She was fully besotted with him. It's nice to have see a marriage that's so loving, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Question 9. Until its abolition in 1966, what did the so-called marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia?
Well, no, they couldn't drink at the front bar, but it's a different bar, I think. Work after they're married. The was going to say Catholics and Protestants couldn't marry, but that's not true, because my parents did. That's too racist.
Have a guess for me, Steve.
The Catholics and the Brottos couldn't get married.
No, it is not about religion, this one. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
See you later. Yeah, Melcy, well done. You've got it absolutely. Ray in Yeronga. Hey, Ray.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi. We're on question 9 in our marriage-themed history quiz. Until its abolition in 1966, what did the so-called marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia?
Marriage bar with a B.
Yes.
Marriage bar.
Marriage bar.
And what was, sorry, the 1966?
It was abolished in 1966. But what, before that, what did it prevent women from doing? What restrictions to do with marriage was it put on?
Having having a bank account.
I'm hoping we had bank accounts well before that.
I mean, when they're married, you know what I mean? Had a joint account or
No, it's nothing to do with that, Ray.
Nothing.
So, no. 1-300-800-222. I'm sure there are some of you, if you were getting married around this time, who might have experienced this firsthand. I'd love to hear your stories, in fact, if that was something that affected you. Until its abolition in 1966, what did the so-called marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia? 1-300-800-222, if you know this one.
Medicine sold like a makeover.
I left that place thinking I found myself a solution.
But it's your body that pays the price.
Something's wrong here. Oh, I never experienced that in my entire life.
Before and After, a new series on how medical hype spreads online. Search for Background Briefing on the ABC Listen app.
Yeah, that's right, Frank in Mount Evelyn. That is precisely correct. Brian from The Gap.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, Brian. Anything to report
you
from the week?
You've said that half a dozen times already. But
I
anyway.
Have. But for you, Brian, I'll always acknowledge your question with grace.
Yeah, how's your week been?
Oh, can I even remember it? Oh, the family's been sick. So, I slept on the couch all week to avoid being too close to my husband. He was not in a good state. Anyway, they're nearly all better now. I just hope I don't come down with it. Right. Good. Brian.
Yes, Suzanne.
Until its abolition in 1966, what did the so-called marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia?
You'll have to repeat that. I didn't quite catch what you were saying.
I'll say it again. Until its abolition in 1966, what did the so-called marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia?
Abolition in 1966.
Yeah.
Marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia. ban on continuing to teach after marriage.
It's not specifically on continuing to teach, no. Oh. You're in the vague, you're in the kind of vague arena there, Brian.
I see.
I hope to talk to you next week.
Yes, very good. Have a good week.
Okay, you too. Helen from Healesville. Hey, Helen.
Good morning, Suzanne. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Do you know much about this marriage bar and what it stopped women from doing?
Was it working? Because I don't think they were allowed to work for a while when they were married.
I need it slightly more specific than that, Helen. Because some women could work, but which ones couldn't?
This was when they were married, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. What did the marriage bar prevent women from doing in Australia until it was abolished in 1966?
And it's not working when married because some could work and some couldn't.
Well, it's not that. You need to be more specific.
Sorry, I can't think of
that. Thanks, Helen. Yeah, B's got it. Frank, I did acknowledge you the first time, but you've sent it in again. You're right for the second time. Joan in Canberra. Hello, Joan.
Oh, hello, yes, for this one, because I know the answer. Once women were married, they had to leave jobs in the bank as teachers, and there was one other field, so public service.
Yeah, public service is what I'm after, is that they weren't allowed to work in the public service, the Commonwealth public service anymore.
And because a lot of women were teachers, I believe, after 1966, they put on their wedding rings.
Yeah, well, that's right. Apparently lots of women kept their marriages a secret because they didn't want to lose those jobs in the public service.
Yeah, I think a lot of young women would be amazed at that fact.
Oh, absolutely. So you knew people it was affected by, Joan?
No, I'm probably a bit too young for that, but I did know about it. I've read about it before, and it's good thing that it changed. I think it was, you know, that thing about during the war, a lot of women worked because they needed them in the workplace. And then when they brought in that marriage bar, because when the men came back, you know, they wanted to work as well, and they got the women out by making that law to
to
leave jobs, leave their work.
Intended to keep women from stealing men's jobs.
Yeah,
apparently.
Stealing men's jobs. Isn't it terrible? Mm. But, I mean, even if they were single parents and had to bring up children by themselves. My mum was one of them. So she had three jobs to look after her two daughters when her first husband left. So it was pretty tough on single mothers.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of people just saying they've got connections. Principessa from Tenterfield says nurses couldn't work. My mum wasn't allowed. Steve from Kempsey said, yeah, my cousin had that issue. So, yeah. Right. Let us move to question 10. Who said these words in 1995? There were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded. And who were the three people in the marriage?
In 1999?
1995. There were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
Yeah, the only one, I don't know if it was the treasurer when they brought that baby bonus, but that's all I can think of.
So not yet.
I think
Joan.
I have heard of it, but yeah, okay. Sorry.
All right. Thanks so much. Okay. Thank Always you. Nice to talk to you. Tony from Victoria, you are a first time caller. Welcome.
There you go.
Oh, I'm going pretty well. Glad you've joined us tonight. Now, going back with this question to 1995, who said these words? There were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded. And who were the three people in the marriage?
Look, I'll just guess and say Barnaby Joyce, Turnbull and Abbott.
That'd be a pretty funny marriage, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Tony, amusing but unfortunately not correct.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. We've got Gillian from North Yonder up on the line. Hey, Gillian.
Hi, Suzanne. It was Princess Diana.
It was Princess Diana. And who were the three people in this marriage?
Oh, gosh. Queen, Prince Charles and Camilla.
Camilla, yes. Exactly. Question 11. On this day, the 7th of December 1940, which Mexican painters remarried in San Francisco after divorcing a year earlier?
After divorcing who?
Yes, they got divorced and then they got married a year later on this day in 1940. It's two Mexican painters, so I want to know the names of these two.
Look, I wouldn't have a clue, Suzanne.
Thanks, Gillian.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You're just on the marriage bar. This one from William in Box Hill. Some women avoided the marriage bar by not telling their employer. Ruby Payne Scott, an earlier notable Australian radio astronomer, was an interesting case in point, who eventually had to resign when her pregnancy became obvious. Yes, that would start to make things a bit difficult at the office, wouldn't it? Now, Mon in Noncaster. Hey, Mon.
Hi. Oh, yes,
Suzanne. Good. Now, look, we had Andrew, our first caller tonight, who impressed us all by telling us that he just turned 90. I don't think it's your birthday today, but you're going to try and top him if that's possible.
Sure. Listening to Andrew, I decided it was time I should ring him.
Okay. And how old are you, Mon?
96.
Oh, and is this right? Your birthday was just a couple of days ago?
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, fantastic. Also, Andrew's inspired you to also do something you've never done before.
He did, because I've been listening to you for so long. I have to have it on at 12 o'clock to listen. And I do love your program.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Oh, this is fantastic. It's so nice talking to all these people for the first time who have always been part of the Nightlife family, but now we can put a voice to their presence.
Yeah, that's terrific. And the question?
The question is, on this day, the 7th of December 1940, which Mexican painters remarried in San Francisco after having divorced a year prior?
No.
Do you know any Mexican painters?
I rang for the other one of the three in the marriage because I knew that was Diana. Mm. Yeah. No, sorry, I don't know this one. So
that's okay. Well, Mon, call again.
I'll have to.
You will.
I'll have to. Okay. Right.
Now you've started. There's no reason not to keep going. How good is this? Julie and Kayama. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Which Mexican painters got remarried on this day in 1940 after having divorced a year earlier? Mexican painters.
I believe it's Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera.
You are correct. It is those two. I mean, they would be Mexico's most famous painters.
Absolutely.
There was an
interesting doco on Frida Kahlo on ABC. It's probably still on ABC iView, which I watched earlier in the year. What a fascinating lady.
Yeah. Question 12. Which Australian Prime Minister amended the Marriage Act in 2004 to explicitly define marriage as the union of a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others?
Gosh, I didn't realise that happened, but it sounds a bit like John Howard.
It was John Howard. That's correct, Julie. Of course, all of that was amended again. Yeah. Yeah. So that was all amended again, of course, with the introduction of same-sex marriage in 2017. Question 13. Which iconic Americans were married on September 12th, 1953 at St. Mary's Church in Newport, Rhode Island?
Oh, gosh. Sounds like Jacqueline Onassis and can't think of his first name. That's terrible, isn't it? Jack Kennedy.
Okay, I'll take Jack Kennedy. I'll let you have Onassis.
Yeah, I don't know her.
It was Bouvier.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah, and of course Onassis was her second husband.
Of course.
Okay, 14. What job did 26-year-old Lois Darcy become the first to hold in Australia in 1973 when she was appointed to this job by Commonwealth Attorney General Lionel Murphy? Now, it's got to do with marriage.
Yeah, I think I might be stumped on that one. No idea.
Thanks for playing, Julie.
Thanks, Suzanne. All right. Bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. We have Cameron in South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, good evening.
Lois Darcy, she became the first person to hold this job in Australia in 1973 when she was appointed to it by Commonwealth Attorney General Lionel Murphy. It's to do with marriage.
I think she was a civil celebrant.
You are correct. She was the first independent civil marriage celebrant in Australia. That's nice. 15. In a traditional Hindu wedding, Cameron, it's custom for the groom to have his what stolen?
His what stolen? Well, I suppose it'd be his wallet.
No, it's not his wallet. Afraid not. Thanks, Cameron. 1-300-800-222. Pat in Shoalhaven. Hello.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. At a traditional Hindu wedding, it's custom for the groom's what to be stolen.
I have no idea. I'll say his hat.
It's not his hat. It's not his wallet. It's not his hat.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Pat. If you can have a guess at this one, we're in the dying days of the history quiz. So if you think you've got a win in you, 1-300-800-222. Richard in Wollongong.
Hi, how are you going, Suzette?
I'm doing well, Richard. Any chance you've been to a Hindu wedding and perhaps know what it is of the grooms that gets stolen?
I've been to India a few times and seen a few weddings, but never been lucky enough to have the invite. I'd love to get one, but yeah, it's his shoes, I think.
It is his shoes, that's right. It's a custom for his groom to remove the shoes, and then the tradition is that the bride's bridesmaids and cousins steal his shoes and hide them, and in order to get his shoes back, the groom has to bribe the women with cash to return them before the ceremony ends.
Yeah.
It's a nice one. Okay, Richard, we are on question 16. Who was Cleopatra married to while she had her infamous affair with Julius Caesar? I don't necessarily need his name. You could kind of tell me what connection he was to her. Not husband, but another connection. Which that's very complicated, isn't it?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Billy is in Narrogin. Hi, Billy.
Hello.
Hello. Billy, who was Cleopatra married to while she had her infamous affair with Julius Caesar?
Oh, who was Cleopatra? Dear, oh dear, you know, I'm not going to be able to get this one, you know. I have to be honest. But could I give a little shout-out to the lovely gentleman that listens to your program from Hall's Head, who was very nice to Kiri and Marty, the beach buggy girls on the Nullarbor who were raising money for pancreas cancer.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, he was very nice to them, and he said he's heard you and heard me. And, yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. And here's to all the golden oldies tonight who have been so amazing.
Exactly so. Thanks, Billy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, John and Alan and Gail and Joan. And Joanne, yeah, you know, you all know who it was that Cleopatra was married to. Greg from East Bentley, greetings.
Hello there, how are you going?
I'm well. Who was Cleopatra married to when she had her infamous affair with Julius Caesar?
No, I should be paying attention, but I've got one ear with you and one eye on the Grand Prix.
Oh, don't tell me anything.
You don't want to know?
No, because I'm going to watch in the morning. Although with it being the final race, I'm like, should I just find out? Or
well, anyway. I put it this way, I've got a smile on my face.
Oh, I don't know who you're going for, but I've Okay.
Well, I'm an Aussie.
You go, well, gosh, but I mean, if we just break the fourth wall for a moment. I mean, if Oscar's to win, there's so much many other things that have to happen. Like everyone else has to have a bad day.
Yeah, well, I don't want to wish bad luck on anyone, but I'm hoping the other two might run off the road at the moment.
I know. I did see some people saying ideal situation. Those two just take each other out at the first bend.
It's lap 35 of 58, so there's a long way to go.
Okay. All right. Better not tell me anything else, Greg.
I won't do that.
Okay. All right. What was I saying to you? Where am I? Okay, here we are. Question 16. Who was Cleo Patron married to while she had her infamous affair with Julius Caesar, and her relationship with them or his name would be acceptable?
Mark Antony?
No, not Mark Antony. Oh. No, he came after Caesar, I think.
Okay.
She had some interesting lovers, old Cleopatra, that's for sure. Bill in Adelaide. Hello.
I was going to say Mark Antony too, and I've no idea who else it might be.
Remember I said it could be the name or it could be the kind of relationship that she had with him, not the married relationship.
Okay. Could you repeat the question again, just one more time?
Who was Cleopatra married to while she had her infamous affair with Julius Caesar?
I'll just say his brother.
Her brother, yeah. Her brother.
No, his
brother. Oh, it's Cleopatra's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Mark Antony's. No, maybe you thought it was Caesar's brother. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm wrong. I'll let it go. I've got it wrong.
But now I've given it away. So I walked you right into that.
I know. Are you sure? I think that's the fair thing to do.
Oh, Bill, that's very honourable of you. Very, very honourable.
Another day. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so much. Isn't that wonderful? Chris, you've got a free run there. You don't even have to answer that question.
Okay.
Question, where are we? 17. Who wrote these words? It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
Oh, that's a good one, that one.
It is.
I'm just trying to think. Would it be?
I don't think it's coming there, Chris. We're slightly short of time, so I'll just skip forward. No dip in Canberra. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My question is, who wrote these words? It's a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
Tell you what, it is Ricky Ponting.
No, it's not. Malcolm in Bunbury.
Hey, Suzanne, how are
we? Hi, I'm doing well. Getting a bit silly now. Okay. Who wrote, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife? Who wrote those words?
Take a stab at Oscar Wilde.
Oh, it's not Oscar Wilde, no.
No way.
Okay, thanks, Malcolm. Let's see if Graham in Gosford knows who wrote those words. Hi, Graham.
Oh, hi, Suzanne.
Who wrote those words?
I think it's Mark Twain.
No, it's not Mark Twain.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Graham. We have another Graham, Karen Yup in Perth. Hey, Graham.
G'day, Suzanne. I don't know the answer, so I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Graham. Lisa in the Blue Mountains. Hello.
Hi.
Are you familiar with these words?
Oh, my goodness. We had to do it for HSC back in 1980. We had to know this quote. It's from Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen.
Yes, Jane Austen is the correct answer. Very, very well done. And
woo!
So, Lisa, you are in prime position now to take out our history quiz tonight.
Sorry, Al, I can't believe it.
Let me give you the drum roll. question is this, Lisa. Have you ever won before?
No, I've never even rung in.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Question, the final question is this. What job did Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's Cavoodle Toto hold when the Prime Minister married Jodie Hayden last Saturday?
Oh, my goodness.
What did Toto do? Yes, he was the ring bearer. Yeah! That's an excited winner.
That's so exciting.
Oh, I'm glad you're so happy, Lisa. All right. Well, a first-time caller who's won a magnet on debut. I love it. Lisa, you go and enjoy the rest of your night. Have a chat with Lockie. He will get you all your details. We'll get you out of Gardening Australia magazine and your fridge magnet too.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.